A massive security operation was mounted ahead of today's elections, but insurgents were still able to carry out attacks, including an attack on the U.S. Embassy in the heavily protected Green Zone in Baghdad Saturday, and several suicide bombings today. Michael O'Hanlon is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution and a frequent guest on our program, and he's on the phone. Hello, Michael.
Good morning. Nice to be with you.
It's good to have you here. The insurgents were able to carry out their strikes in spite of all the precautions. The elections still went on as planned. The turnout, as it's being reported, was quite large. So would you characterize, first of all, the security efforts as a success?
I think security was actually outstanding. I think that there were really far fewer attacks with lower casualties than I would have guessed. This obviously doesn't change the broader fact that Iraq remains a violent country, a very violent country, and there's no reason to think the insurgency will let up after these elections. Having said that, today in Iraq, I think, was a happy day and a successful day, and I expected several times worse than what appears to have occurred.
What exactly was the role of U.S. forces there?
Well, I think, for one thing, we obviously played a big role figuring out how to provide security. The decisions on preventing the use of vehicles, on not announcing the locations of polling stations until just before the elections, on making sure, therefore, that the vulnerability to things like car bombs or staged coordinated assaults by individuals carrying automatic weapons, the chances that those such attacks would be reduced, was clearly a result of expert consultation. And while I'm sure Iraqis played an important role as well, I think the United States probably played a key advisory role. Obviously, in addition to that, we have about half the total security forces in Iraq today, even counting all the Iraqi police and military that have been trained, and we have by far the largest number of well-trained and proficient forces. So I think we try to make sure that Iraqis were essentially the people doing the frisking right next to the entrances to polling booths, but you can be darn sure that every major city had Americans, had strike teams or response teams deployed, and within a few minutes of mobility to be able to respond to any kind of problem virtually anywhere in the country and certainly in the major cities.
Are the Iraqi security personnel getting better?
Yes, but I think the way to think of it is that there are 5 to 10,000 of them who are pretty good at this point. Even they are not excellent, but there are only 5 to 10,000 who are pretty good. The other 100-some thousand, and we heard, of course, this debate during the confirmation hearings for Secretary of State Rice, the other 100-plus thousand are really in a very early state of proficiency, and their political loyalty is still in doubt, their dependability, and their skills. And so I think you have to break things down into those two broad groups. Unfortunately, the first group, the relatively well-trained group, is quite modest in size at this time.
Is it your assessment, then, that the U.S. military might try to limit its role mostly to training of new Iraqi armed forces?
Well, I think for the next few months at least, and probably the next year to 18 months, we're going to have to do more than that. Certainly, we have to do a lot of training, and General Luck's recent mission suggests that we're going to try to step that up even more than we have, although it's obviously been a major focus for the last 9 months at least. But I think that to the extent that counterinsurgency operations are still needed on a substantial scale throughout Iraq, we're going to have to take the lion's share of the responsibility for that in the next year or so. The Iraqis just aren't up to it. We'll try to do things like in Fallujah this past November, where we include a few hundred or up to a couple thousand Iraqis in some of the big important battles. But even that mission, as you know, involved maybe 10,000 Americans and 2,000 Iraqis, even though it had been planned for months and was certainly going to make every possible use of Iraqis that it could. So to the extent counterinsurgency, which means patrolling, trying to get intelligence, responding to attacks, trying to go after the insurgents rather than just let them do their thing, to the extent that continues, for the next year it's going to have to be largely a U.S.-led operation.
And finally, can one begin to even start thinking about the United States ending its military presence in Iraq?
Well, I think you have to, not in the sense of cutting and running and not in the sense of believing everything's hunky-dory in Iraq, but I think that our presence and the perception of an indefinite American presence is clearly helping fuel the insurgency right now. In other words, we're part of the solution because we're needed for stability in Iraq, but we're also part of the problem because we're seen as an occupier, and I think that provides a lot of the rallying ideology that the Baathists and the jihadists would otherwise lack, because what they offer the Iraqi people is nothing. But they have somehow turned this insurgency into a perceived attack against a foreign occupier. So I think a scheduled, gradual drawdown that's announced publicly but occurs over the next 18 months or so is the right way to go. The way Congressman Meehan of Massachusetts, for example, spoke this last week, I think that kind of a plan allows us to do things not too fast, but still to give a clear message that we are trying to get out. We could still keep 30,000 troops even after that time, but I think we got to try to get out with the bulk of them in the next 18 months.
Michael O'Hanlon is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution in Washington. Thank you.
Thank you, Leanne.
The polling stations are now closed in Iraq. The voting was marred by several attacks that at least left 30 people dead. While turnout was high in the Shiite areas of Iraq and the Kurdish south, few Sunni Muslims participated. Also today, a British military transport airplane crashed north of Baghdad. There was no immediate word on casualties or the cause of the crash.